Okay, Nita, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
It was great to hear all the praise reports. Wow. Okay. The first thing I want to do is to worship God only. Then pray for Israel and Hamas, Syria, Iran, Rothschilds. And then I want to come down and pray about some things that are happening in Europe and in the Middle East. God is keeping America so shielded from so much that other parts of the globe are on fire with. And I think, as I share with you, it's going to help you better understand that when the Lord says to pray over this nation, over that nation, pray over this attempt at war, and so on. It will help you understand what is going on, the seriousness of it. Just because we don't see, you know, people in their armament rolling out to the nearest wilderness to play war doesn't mean that there are not wars being ignited and that there are not scuffles, if you will, being planned. The elite want the whole world wrapped in war. That's just the facts. And they have planned that plan for so many years, it would almost be difficult to map out the years. They got World War I, they got World War II, and now they're headed for World War III if they can make it happen. And I believe in all my heart that they have not yet been able to turn Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Hamas, the situation between China and Taiwan. And any place else that they've got these little skirmishes coming to light. Someone told me, and maybe it was a couple people, that when it was announced that President Trump won the presidency, that you know, all things, all kinds of things began to happen. Sorry about that, folks. Now I lost where I was. About the skirmishes that went on. Black Lives Matters. I can't remember. I think there were two more. I know Ricky was aware of it. Elizabeth was aware of it. not everyone was as happy as the church for our new president. The point I'm trying to make is the Jesuits linked with the elite of the earth are fighting. They're fighting small and they're fighting big. They're fighting in religion and they're fighting in politics to ensure that the war does happen, and when it's over, America and the world will belong to them. So it's very imperative that we continue on the course that we're on. And as we obliterate one opposition, that we don't stand around and gloat over our victory, although God has given us enough victories, you could almost understand why people might just want to keep talking about it. But we have to keep moving on, because the train of troubles doesn't stop moving down the tracks until God is able to pull out from under them the tracks that they're traveling on. And he's doing it, but there's still some more to go. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for praying with us. Thank you for keeping your faith strong. That's why I asked John to start preparing prayer praises for us to hear each night. And Gerald was kind enough to take that over when John had to leave. And it just, there's nothing to boost your faith like praying for something that seems mammoth, and then God does it. And he does it because you prayed. And you prayed because he asked you to. And we don't have to be ashamed of that. We're working hand in hand with him. He's enjoying it. We're enjoying it. So we'll just keep up the good old work, if that's all right. So tonight I want to say, well, I'll start off with praising God. And in my second point, I want to share with you what I wanted to share with you last week, but didn't have an opportunity, because we need to know and we need to be working on it. Let's pray. Father, how great you are. There is no praise, no glory, no beautiful songs of laudation that can come from our lips and our heart that match the beauty of who and what you are. The more we get to know you and the more we get to see what you are willing to do to help planet Earth, the more our faith is strengthened and arises to the next problem area. And we long to work with you, Father. What a What an excellent and wonderful thought to be working with God for the healing of the world. But right now, mostly the healing of America. There is nothing too great for you. Your wisdom is above all. Your knowledge is above all. And whatever it takes to accomplish what you want to do, you're willing to do. So we look at you again tonight. And once again, we say thank you. You speak, we listen, and you help us obey. So thank you, Father. And Father, moving on, we're so thankful that although Israel is under a tough storm right now, they're not alone. You are watching over them. You have measured what you will allow and what you won't allow. And the moment Hamas reaches that point where they tip their toe over the line and enter into that place that you will not allow, you will arise and you will remind them and Israel just who you are, Lord. You're not a God that can be mocked. You're not a God sitting in heaven confused about what's going on and what you should do. You're not in your throne room trying to figure out, okay, now, Israel's in trouble again, so what do I do? You knew it all before you ever created earth, and you knew what you would do with each crisis. Our place in it is that we listen to you and then we arise to work with you for the answer. And because you love Israel and you love America, you love the church, and we know it, Lord, you desire to work with us for the answer. And if anyone who's a part of Hamas, and I remember that that horrible name means violence, but if there's anyone that is part of that group, that can be turned to truth. Of course, Lord, we know you want that, and so do we. But I would think that your main concern right now is to show yourself strong to your people. Syria, Iran. Father, I know your love for Syria. I have been baptized in it so many times. It doesn't matter to me what people think. Syria is supposed to be an enemy to Israel because it's not a confirmed or committed friend. And the main person that was sitting in the seat that was leading it toward that direction has been removed. But you still love the people. And any who will is being called to your side. And we love Syria because they're people. Just that. Not because they're extraordinary. We're not extraordinary. But we love them and we want to see their generations flourish in truth and in Christ. And Iran, who is such an integral part of the events of these, what do they call themselves? Yeah, these jihadists. Doing everything they shouldn't do. I'm not talking about the people, but the government. Doing everything that they should not do and doing nothing of what they should be doing. Father, we cry out for mercy and a heart change and a vision change. We cry out, Lord, for those in Iran who are willing to be changed. And even the church in Iran that is praying for their leadership to behave themselves. All that money that under Biden we were sending to Iran to support the jihadists, to hurt Israel first, then the rest of the world. Oh my goodness. The sin that is on the heart of the leadership, and that they will be judged for in times in the future. Lord, it's enough to break your heart. They're blind, and they're blind by hate. They're blind by teaching. They're blinded because their minds have been poisoned. And then we send them money to support the work of the jihadists and pretend like we're absolutely ignorant of it. So, Father, the last one I want to put into this is, first of all, I guess Rothschild's part. I think we all know that, Lord. A sad affair of a family. If you can break their knees to get them on their knees and to recognize who you are and that they must repent if there's any hope for a future for them. And America, who works quietly behind the scenes with the Rothschild Company. Forgive us all, Lord. Forgive us not only for what we do for against Israel, but for things that go on between America and the Rothschilds and the countries of the Middle East, and how it affects the whole world. Please forgive us, Lord. Open our eyes to see. Help us get away from the television and even the internet if we can't see the truth, but to come away and get their mouth and their brain and they're so full of the truth so that they can stand righteously for the right people. It is your heart to bring these wars to rest. And we thank you for it, and we keep praying for it, because we know that it is your will. Father, we come to you as meek and humble, because we are nobody without you. We are not extremely brilliant people that pass IQ records every time we turn around. We're not necessarily the kindest people in the world, maybe more than most, but we have areas that we can improve in that too. There are a lot of things that Americans have satisfied themselves with because of the spirit of self-righteousness. And I repent for us, Lord. We don't know what we're doing here. But I do pray that you will speak to us in dreams. If we are saved, please speak to us by your spirit and by your word. And help us align ourselves with you. In your glorious name, Lord. Amen. Now I'd like to talk to you about something that has been going on. In the Middle East. They call these buildings the One World Religion Headquarters, and by, I believe, September 24th, they finally open them. It's three buildings. And they're called the Abrahamic Family House. And they were built in the city of Abu Dhabi. Maybe most of you have heard of these buildings. This may be the place that President Bush Sr. traveled to when he traveled over to that area on the sly. He didn't want the nation to know that he'd gone. So we were involved with it, whether we wanted to be or not. These buildings were built in collaboration with Pope Francis, the Sunni Muslim leader, Sheikh Taib, and also the head of the Jewish faith in Israel. They all joined together, built these buildings, and the statement to the world, I say, the statement to the world is that they are the beginning and the representative of the one world religion. Now let me tell you for a moment how close these people are. It was supposed to have been brought together to prove that major faith religions can not only cohabit, but work out even the worst of problems. The Pope represented the church. And then I've already told you about the other two. One, Israel, the other, the Muslims. These people that are represented in these buildings that have been built, promises one to another tolerance of understanding. The UAE Constitution also guarantees freedom of religion in accordance with established customs. But the devil is in the details. Though certain practices like conversion from Islam are directly prohibited among these three brothers that are getting along so well. The penal code for UAE defers to Sharia law. Isn't that fun? People think they have a hard time obeying the law of America based on the Constitution. I wonder how they'd like to take a look at Sharia law. It's horrible. And that strictly prohibits apostasy. So even if the guy who is under the Sharia law wanted to become part of the Judaism or wanted to become part of the faith, doctrines, and so on of the Catholic Church, he wouldn't be able to. And if he tried, they'd kill him. That's unity in operation. The One World Religion headquarters will have three buildings, it does. I've got a picture of it in my hand. One building representing the mosque, another the church, and yet another a synagogue. However, the church is not permitted to have a cross on the building as a method of identifying it, as it is illegal to display a Christian cross on a building in the UAE. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, doesn't that just make your heart go tickle? They're usually not enforced. Teaching that Jesus is the only God is considered to be an act of insulting Allah or the Prophet Muhammad. Whoa! And offenders can be subject to imprisonment for 5 or more years. Fined from 250,000 dirhams, which amounts to just under 70,000, to 2 million dirhams. Maybe they have to say it twice. You know, something that would be offensive to Allah or Muhammad. I don't know. But it goes up to what would equal out to $545,000 American dollars. And Christians may be deported. To add to the confusion of bringing understanding and tolerance, Sunni Muslim leader Sheikh Tayyib, who is widely touted as a moderate Muslim, strongly believes that Muslims who convert from Islam to any other religion, including Christianity, should be killed. So if the idea of the One World Religion headquarters is to bring tolerance and understanding, then why build it in a Muslim country where conversion is illegal? And why do it together with Muslim cleric who teach that Muslim apostates should be killed? Isn't that the opposite of tolerance and understanding? Yeah, everyone answer that question. It's a beautiful question. Connected to this construction project will be an interfaith council to oversee, I mean, this gets really funny. Connected to this construction project will be an interfaith council to oversee projects which aim to advance tolerance, but perhaps the tolerance will be only one directional. In December 2020, the United Nations passed an anti-blasphemy law that most Christians are not aware of. The loosely translated law, as embraced by the UAE, prohibits any teachings against Islam, including biblical teachings which could be construed offensive. Most Christians understand the term one world religion to refer to the merging of all religions, including Christianity, into a single global religion. Many Christians believe that a one world religion is directly linked to the last days of the Antichrist and will establish a one world religion which will be associated with a one world government and lead to the mark of the beast. Now, I want to pray over this. This is my teaching for tonight. This is not an up-and-coming extravaganza. This is done. The buildings are built. Agreements have been signed. And it seems like, gee, I don't know what the concessions could have been because anything that means anything, they can't agree on. And so you have people coming in large groups to these buildings from these different religions. And if someone stubs their toe and can prove that someone from another building was the problem maker, we could have an all-out war. I mean, this is absolutely so absurd. I want to say it's just like the world. But why would even a non-Christian agree with this? Why? The end of it all for everybody is you obey every jot and every tittle, not of what you're friend believes, but of what we believe. And if you don't believe it, we will just simply kill you. And yet they're calling this unity. They're calling it an Abrahamic unity. What is wrong with it? It's a lie. It's an outright deception. But the funniest part is the three at the head, including Pope Francis, they're blinder than bats. I would say blinder than bats because they don't even have what it takes to find a wall that their eyes can't find. And I guess they just decided they're going to pray and believe that everyone's going to obey them. But we'll see what comes out of it. I just want to encourage that you do not get too near that project. Because if it's the day when someone said it's enough, who's responsible for these ridiculous ideas? I'll hate my brother if I want to. And if my brother hates me because of my religion, it's his problem. And if another or other of the people think that, and they do it all in the same day, How are you going to see nighttime for the wrestlings and the wars and the fight and the battles that are going to go on? So we need to pray against this facade. Number one, please write this down. There will never be only one faith in the world. Never be until Jesus rules in Jerusalem. Anyone who believes that there will be needs to do some serious study on the different religions that are known in the world and how diverse they are and how adamant they are in what they believe. Some might say, well, God can change that. God could. Of course, he can do anything. But he won't. He will not override a man's will. So if the people of the world want to chase after their religions and hate Christianity, that's what will happen. There's a reason why the church is going to come into a day of persecution. And it's always, 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 always based on the fact that we will not submit nor succumb to anything except what Jesus said in his word. He is God the Son. He is the Savior of the world. There is no way to the Father or into heaven except by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if any faith that proposes that they are a faster, quicker, more convenient way to get to heaven, they're in a delusion. Pray for that one, but don't follow them. And because that delusion is going to become so strong, when, I don't know, could be 10 years, could be 15, I don't know. But because it is going to become so strong, you need to know why you believe what you believe. And you can ask the Lord, just mark me with your pen and let the whole heavens know if I have to be martyred for my faith someday, I'm willing. If not, I'll pray for my brothers and sisters who may face that. So we're praying for a time when man can be at peace. But it's not going to be based on religion. I don't know how that could possibly happen. So it'll have to be very temporary, I suppose, and based on political reasoning. Doesn't that sound wonderful? And that is what we're believing for, is that this unity can be brought together by our Lord for the season of the harvest. And the people will not fall to the deceptions and the delusions of the evil one. Amen. Let me pray one more time, please. Father, to me this is so absurd. And I know you outside of the fact that there are going to be souls lost because of it. You don't think of anything of it except its absurdity. But the deluded mind, we understand, will believe anything and find it difficult to let go because of pride. So we thank you for your great love and how in the days ahead your love will melt the heart of any who will. Let them fall over their own 2 feet. Let them trip over someone else's trap. We don't care how they have to open their eyes and embrace the Savior, only that they will. We thank you for protecting the church. You're not asking that anyone is going to be perfect. That's why we have the blood. But what you do ask is that we thrive in you and we strive to win the war against our flesh for your glory's sake. We love you, Father, and we thank you for the future you're putting together for us. In Jesus' name. Okay, Ricky.